Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of Provo City School District's What's Up With The Soup podcast. I am Superintendent Wendy Dow, and I am excited to be with you again this week. In continuing our efforts to highlight the many opportunities and choices provided in our schools for students, I am joined by Clay Bingham, our district CTE director, to discuss the plethora of CTE courses offered to our district, as well as how students can become more involved in these types of classes. And by the way, CTE stands for Career and Technical Education. Before we get to the interviews, let's go over our updates for the week. First, the school year calendar priority survey for the 2025-2026 school year has been sent out. Please check your email for the link to complete the survey. This survey provides parents, students, and employees the opportunity to let the district know which details of a school year calendar are most important to them. The survey will remain open through Sunday, November 5th, after which the results will be shared with the public and used to construct two options of the 2025-2026 school year calendar to be voted on by the public, students, and employees. The end of the first term is coming up on October 18th. That also means that fall break is coming up. Fall break for students will be October 19th through October 24th. Teachers will return to work for a professional development day on Tuesday, October 24th, and students return to class on Wednesday, October 25th. The next school board meeting will be a study session on Tuesday, October 24th. Study sessions are held in Boardroom 1 at the district office and are open to the public. Please check our website for the start time. Elementary SEP conferences are coming up on October 25th through the 27th. Please look for more information coming from your schools. Look for the weekly video cast from me every Friday. In this short video, I provide important information and updates about work happenings throughout the district. We have not had any questions submitted to the podcast in a few weeks. If you do have a question, concern, comment, or idea that you would like to hear addressed on the podcast, please do not hesitate to reach out. We would love to be able to provide information to our listeners. Our email address is podcast@provo.edu. And now for some shout outs. Congratulations to our Provo Way Award winners for the month of October. This month, we recognize the following: Rick and Midge Johnson. They are lunch and recess supervisors at Spring Creek Elementary. Tiara Wakefield, a kindergarten teacher at Timpanogos Elementary. Emily Cummings, an occupational therapist at Sunrise Preschool. And Angela Warnock, a first grade teacher at Franklin Elementary. Please check our website for the Provo Way Award video that highlights all of these fantastic employees. Also, it is National Principals Appreciation Month. Please watch our social media reels for individual principal shout-outs. And now on to our guest. But be sure to stay tuned to the end because we have a surprise for you. We visited a welding class at Provo High School and talked to a few CTE students about their experience with CTE. You will not want to miss it. Today, my guest is Clay Bingham. He is our Career and Technical Education Director. We also refer to them as CTE directors for Provo City School District. So welcome, Clay. It's great to have you on our show.
Yeah, thanks, Superintendent.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I've been in the district for 18 years. I've taught Spanish. I've done driver's ed. I've been an assistant principal and then this position for 5 years. So it's, yeah, kind of a fun trajectory there in my career.
So you've had a lot of different experiences that you can bring to this current position.
Yeah, absolutely.
So give us a brief overview of what CTE is and how it looks in Provo City School District.
Okay, great. So career and technical education is where we equip students with professional skills that will provide them access to career opportunities. Our goal is to have them learn a skill, learn a performance that they're going to be able to start a career in. And so that's what career and technical education does.
So it's really something that's very relevant to hopefully something they're going to do once they leave high school.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Okay, good.
Tell us about some of the work-based learning experiences that are available for our students in our district.
So at our school districts, we have work-based learning, which is really where students are going to go out and experience real-world opportunities. They can do internships, which is a job shadow opportunity where they go to businesses and they follow them around and really see if they like the profession that they've studied. Another is CAPS. So CAPS is a program where we bring students from both Temp View and Provo together, and they work on projects. And these projects last a semester, and they have two periods a day to work on those projects, and they work as if they were a client for that company.
Could you give me an example of a type of CAPS project that a student might work on?
Currently, we're working on a project with the Provo City, and the students are working on a PSA for how to make the trail clean on the Provo River Trail. The students get to work with the mayor's office. They get to design and develop kind of what they want to give to the public of how to keep the trail clean from debris. And so at the end of the project, they're going to present that to the city council, and then they're going to show it out to the citizens of Provo.
So it's really helping them develop kind of a planning idea. They're going to give some service almost back to the community. They're going to learn presentation skills because you got to do
Absolutely.
This in front of the city council and the mayor and really involving the community. That's incredible. What are some other types of work-based learning that are available? Is there anything else that students can do?
We have career fairs for students. Just yesterday, we held a career fair at Dixon Middle School. And we have people from the community that are professionals come in and share what careers they're in. And the students go around and ask questions and get to know what type of careers are out there, even at the middle school level. We've even had some at the elementary level as well, where we have career fairs for students.
So it gets kids kind of exposed to some things that maybe they don't normally think about. Because, you know, a lot of kids are like, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police officer. But what would be some of those careers that maybe are less well known that we highlight in a career fair like that?
One of my most favorite ones that I've seen is at Franklin Elementary last year, we had a pilot that came in and was talking Spanish with the kids at Franklin.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just saw the lights in the kids' eyes light up as they saw this man that could speak Spanish just like them. That was a pilot out there, and he works here in locally, and that was fantastic.
So really getting them to see that there are people that are just like them that can do these really great careers and have these opportunities.
Absolutely. As well as some of the myths out there that we think of different professions or construction or something out there that they think, you know, I don't want to do that job. But when they find out, well, there's so many different positions within those companies. And there's so many different things that you can do and the money that they can make and the skills that they can learn. They just don't know what they don't know yet until they hear from these professionals.
That's very true. And I think that's true for their parents as well.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about our relationship with MTech. What is MTech and how do our students get involved in that program?
Yeah, MTech is a technical college that we have great alignment with. So students can attend classes while in high school for a very minimal fee. And they can start earning credits, start earning hours of proficiency towards certificates. And that gives them a leg up. If they want to continue on and go to a university, they stack those credentials that will count towards credit towards a university. But they offer programs that we just don't have the ability to offer at our high school, like diesel tech, cosmetology, some of the most popular ones that they offer right now.
That's a great opportunity for our students. Does every university accept some of those credits if they're going to transfer it, or is it just like certain universities? Or
yeah, the majority of the state universities will. So if you're looking at a private university, it wouldn't.
Okay, yeah. That's great. So talk to me a little bit about CTE pathways. We hear about that all the time, and we want students to complete these pathways. What is a CTE pathway? How do they work? And what are the benefits of a student completing one of these?
Yeah, great. Good point. So within the CTE realm, there's so many different classes that you can take, from shop classes down to health science. And within those content areas, if a student completes 3 credits within that area, we call that a pathway. Well, pathways are getting recognized by industry partners to allow them to have a leg up on hiring positions. They're even offering scholarships for students that complete pathways. And we recognize them here in the district of allowing students to wear cords at graduation. But the main benefit for a student to complete a pathway is it shows the industry partner that they have certain skills within those areas.
And do they have to pass some competency tests as they finish each course that makes up a pathway?
Great. Yeah, within the strength of CTE is really those competency tests that you talked about. They have to pass a skills test, and then they have to pass a competency test after every CTE class that they take. So when somebody goes out to hire somebody that has that pathway, they can be confident that those students have those skills that were within the standards of the class.
And those skills tests are coming from the state, so it's not something like just the teacher creates.
Exactly. They're state-driven, and industry partners are involved in the creation of those standards.
Okay. That's excellent. I didn't even realize that the industry partners were part of that process. So you said 3 credits. Is that 3 full credits or is it 3 courses?
It's 3 full credits.
Wow. So how many classes does that constitute in a high school then?
Well, so for every semester class, they're going to get a half a credit, right? And so it's going to be, 6 classes or a full year class, right? Could be 3.
Okay, so they're really going to have a solid skill set because they keep building on that. And I'm guessing that the classes are in a type of order. So they're, they start with some basic classes and then they're building on that with each following class that they take.
Yep. The goal is at the end is they're taking an internship where they can go out and get that real world experience or our CAPS program. Or we even have some capstone classes at the high schools.
Okay. Give me an example of one of these pathways and what the courses would look like to go through, that maybe one that's really popular with our students.
A lot of the courses, like you said, start with an introductory course. Okay. And so they could be a business office class in our business areas, and they just consolidated that to be kind of, there used to be several different pathways within business, and now it's they consolidated into business. Okay. But then they have different strands. But I would say one of our most popular classes is our health science.
Okay.
We have kids will start out in intro to health science. Students will move on to medical anatomy and physiology. And then they can go on to MA and get their medical assisting within that. And now we have our capstone class that can finish that off to get their 3 credits within that pathway.
And that sounds like that's going to be a foundation for lots of maybe other careers that they could go into as well.
Absolutely. And so it doesn't lead to just one job. It leads into a wide berth of what they could take and go into.
So are most of these CTE classes available primarily at the high school level?
Yes. And so within the middle school, we have college and career awareness. It's kind of an opportunity for students to explore and see what they can take within the high school level. And then starting in 9th grade, we start with CTE classes.
And so if you were going to give some advice to, say, a middle school parent to prepare for CTE classes, what would be some of the pieces of advice you might give to a middle school parent?
I believe it's important to understand that you keep your mind open going into CTE classes. Some of them you go into because you love and you know you want to do that. But others, you're going to explore and find out if this is for me. I hear it all the time from students like, I wasn't sure about this class. My counselor talked to me about it and thought it would be a good fit. Then I found out I loved it. Sometimes you get the opposite. They think they like it and they find out that's not for them. And so both of those are good examples of why we have these classes, to find out now to prepare them for a better opportunity for their career or what they want to study later on.
That's great. So what is it that you think really attracts students to CTE classes and to these programs? How are they different from, say, a traditional math class or English class or something like that? Why do they gravitate towards them? Because I feel like they do, but
I feel like the hands-on aspect and the skills performance, not all of us, all CTE classes are hands-on, but the majority of them are.
Okay.
So I think kids like that. They want something different. They want to be able to see the application of it. A lot of times you're in a math class or a science class and they tell you about the application, But in CTE, we can see it, and we can see a product, or we can see something that we've created or completed. And that's such a big advantage for a student. The feedback, too, is really quick. If they're welding something or they're creating something, they know exactly whether they did it right or wrong, and they can adjust and reflect on that and do better. I think kids that are just fidgety and need something that kind of breaks out of the mold of sitting in a classroom, taking notes and quizzes and tests, it gives them an opportunity to show their skills in a different way.
That's excellent. So they can find their niche in high school if maybe, you know, a traditional academic class is not quite, they're still good at it, but it's just not quite what they love to do.
And we want both. We want them to be successful at all of them. And they really lend to that. As we have more completers, as we talk about pathway completers, and we talked about that 3 credits, as more kids complete that, we see that they have a higher graduation rate as they do that.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you highlighted that. So these students, it's not just taking these kind of a hodgepodge of CTE courses. It's really being very proactive and really thinking about what they want to do. And then that high school diploma comes a lot easier to these students.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's true.
What are some of the lesser known programs that you wish more students knew about in CTE?
Now, I want to be careful not to forget any, because I want to highlight and support all our programs because they're doing good things. But some of the newer ones I could talk about, we just started a drone class. It's called Unmanned Aerial Systems. And so that just started at Provo High. And so getting that up and going is a really, really exciting thing for us here in Provo. Computer science is a big one, and we'd love to see more of our female students in those classes. We'd love to see more students of underserved populations in those classes as well. There's so many opportunities for jobs and skills that they can learn here. The same skills that they'll be learning at the university, they can learn here right now with our teachers. I would love to see our construction program that just started 2 years ago take off as well. Okay.
I think one of the things you're highlighting here too is the students are really learning in an environment where teachers really care about them and are, you know, there's just this really great culture that surrounds them, and those teachers want them to be successful and they can try and get the help that they need.
I think just like the students like to work with their hands and they like to be active within CTE, our teachers are the same way. And I think our teachers, they just love to be around students and help them and guide them. And you can just feel that being in their classroom. And that's a huge, huge win and a huge plus for our district.
And really makes them want to come to school so they're connected in some way to their education too.
Right. So. CT is fun and the teachers have fun as well.
So how can students learn more about these CTE opportunities?
There's lots of different ways. We have our website, we have different communications, but we also have CTE specialists in the school. Our counselors are great and they're great support as well, but our CTE specialists who really know the ins and outs of our programs are the ones that they can go contact and ask.
Okay. I think you did a Get the Scoop on CTE event. Tell us a little bit about that event and what your goal was, what your purpose was with that specific event that you hosted the last week of September.
Get the Scoop event is where we bring CTE people from MTech, Provo School District, UVU, and teachers, advisors, and we have an open house, and we held it at Provo High School on September 25th, and our goal was to really expose parents and students to the world of CTE. We also had industry partners there. We had fire trucks and policemen, and it was just an amazing event that covered the whole school, the whole campus of Provo High. Our goal was, as well as exposing the parents and students to what we do in CTE, is also to guide them on their decisions of what classes they want to take. It gave our teachers an opportunity to promote their class, to market what they're doing. It gave MTech and UVU that same opportunity to showcase what they do and just really have a fun event for our community.
And I think it's great that you did that event in September, because sometimes I feel like we do those types of things almost in January or February and students are already starting to figure out their schedules for the next year. And so it's almost too late. They haven't gotten all of the information. So I think, is that what you have found, that the sooner you can get that information into the hands of students, the better it is? It might even influence what they take the second semester, for example, or something.
Absolutely. Anytime we can get out and just showcase what we're doing in CTE, we want to be able to do that.
Excellent. What are some things that our schools can do, or that other parts of our district could do to help support our CTE programs, especially in getting information to parents? Because a lot of times I hear from parents, "I didn't know that this existed," and it's like, how do you not know? It's on the website. Yeah. It's here. You know how it is. We communicate, but if you're not really looking for it at that moment, what are some ideas where we can really collaborate as an entire system to help our families know more about all that we offer?
I think first is making sure we understand what CTE is. And so this is very helpful. So thank you for doing this.
Yes.
Getting that word out of this is what CTE is about and this is what we do. Understanding it, because I think we hear CTE and we don't know what that even means.
Yep.
We say lots of acronyms in education. The next thing is we want to really partner with our industry. And so finding those people out in the community that can help and support us. If CTE is career focused, then we want to really do what industry is doing. We don't want to create something, and then when the kids leave, that's not what they're doing in industry.
Right.
So we all know people in industry. We all, educators, teachers, administrators. And so directing them to us in the CTE department and letting us connect with those people, having them on advisory boards and having them come talk to our students, those type of things can be very helpful.
So tell me also, there's a lot of opportunities for students to really hone their skills in CTEs through what are called CTSOs. So tell us what a CTSO is, what are some of those, and what are the skills that students could acquire by being involved in those organizations at the high school?
Yeah, CTSO stand for Career and Technical Student Organizations. And so they give students the opportunity to form a group within different content areas. And some of those content areas are the FCCLA, which is our kind of our facts groups. Mm-hmm. We have DECA, which is marketing, FBLA, which is our business leadership opportunities. And then we have TSA, which is our engineering, and it touches a lot of different areas as well. And Skills USA, which is our trades areas. And then HOSA, which is our health science. So within those areas, students come together. They do fundraisers, they have activities, they teach them leadership skills, there's training that's involved, and then they get to go out and compete in different projects and different things that they've done throughout the year at a local level and then at a state level and then a lot of times at a national level. And that's because we have such great advisors and a great community that supports these students. So it's a way to go further, even within the content areas or the specialty areas within CTE that they want to learn more about and come together with like-minded students. And it's a lot of fun.
And that's really where you're seeing a lot of development of creative projects and a lot of critical thinking goes into those CTSOs and the competition parts of things.
Yeah, we love to see those things that go beyond the classroom.
One of the things that we get told a lot in education is that there isn't a lot of choice, that we want to have more choice in education. And I always find that to be so interesting because I think there are a ton of choices in our schools. And so talk about how CTE really assists in providing all of these opportunities and this tremendous kind of menu of choices for our students.
Yeah, it's quite amazing if you think of all the things that you could do in a high school. And a lot of times, you can't get to all of them.
Right.
And so that's exciting to think about really the direction and the courses and the classes that you can take. We have such a wide variety, and we're just the right size as a district to be able to offer just about everything. And as we talked about before, there's opportunities with MTech or UVU that offer what we don't have. And so all of these opportunities give students chances to explore, to dive deeper into their passions. I would recommend to any student, if you don't know what it is, just go try it out. You know, go see what you maybe not know.
And then who knows, it might open up a whole other world of possibilities. Absolutely. For that student. I find it funny too when someone will come and say, I don't have room in my schedule to do that. And I'm like, that's because you have so many choices.
Yes.
You want to do so many things. That's incredible.
That's true.
To just kind of sum up, what is your greatest wish for CTE? And how could we as a district help sustain that or help you achieve that? How could our schools help with that?
Well, I think we're on the right path of achieving that right now. We've created these work-based learning opportunities within CAPS. We've developed new programs. I think the next step is to find out, okay, what's an industry that we don't have, that they can't have access to? What is it that we need to provide our students in the Provo School District that would really benefit our community, would really benefit our students, and just take off? And there's lots of different opportunities out there that we could find. Many districts have tech centers and different opportunities there. And we're not as large as some of those, but we could find ways to maybe incorporate different classes into our curriculum.
Those are all really great ideas. And I love that you also highlighted that because of our location and our partnerships with MTech and UVU, we're very fortunate as a district because of those partnerships. It really does expand those opportunities for students.
Right.
Okay, one last question that I'm just thinking of. You kind of mentioned this briefly about trying to find ways to help our underserved students gain more opportunities through CTE. What would be some ways in which we could do that? And what do you see as the benefits of that?
We're constantly looking in CTE of which students do we need to really approach and attack and say, we want you in our programs. Because for some reason or another, they're deciding not to. And so really getting everybody involved and making sure we're taking down barriers for students to take these classes is really important to us because they're a part of our community and we want them to be a part of our CTE, which should reflect kind of the industry within our community. And so finding ways to promote, to market, to let them know, just like parents sometimes know, students sometimes don't know what's out there. We take kids on tours to different businesses, or we go down and market to them and tell them, you know, this is how much money you can make, or this is the skills that you have already. This class would benefit you. And so those are some of the ideas that we could do right now to look for those students that are not in those classes.
Those are great ideas. And I'm really trying to connect them too with key individuals within the building that can help them make those decisions. So thank you so much, Clay, for being with us to talk with us about CTE and all of the great opportunities that it provides our students here in Provo City School District.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
So I'm here in the welding shop at Provo High School with Caleb Money, who is our welding teacher. And how long have you been here, Caleb?
This is my 11th school year here with Provo High.
What is the best part about teaching welding?
Proving all the kids wrong when they say they can't do hard things. Like, I can't do that, or I don't know anything about this. I can't do that, and I get to prove them wrong every year, and it's very, very fun and gratifying to see the kids take an idea and go from one end to the other and actually, like, they're mini bikes. They'll hop on and ride it, and the look on their face is just, it's worth it all.
Worth it all. Is it worth it all that they're building the skills or that you get to prove them wrong more?
Prove them wrong more, but the skills is a big, big part of it. They're becoming a lot more marketable as an employee, learning the critical thinking of building a project and the engineering and things that go in it. So they learn more building cool stuff anyway, so it's a win-win.
That's great. So tell me about some of the jobs that you would have for welding. Like that a kid could get?
Welding is one of those trades that it's really easy to work for yourself. You can go and be a private contractor and do some drill pipe fence welding or structural steel welding for building erecting and bridge building and pipe welding. The pay ranges for entry level MIG welders, they'll walk right out of high school and can make $23 an hour. Before August hits, and then it goes up from there. An entry-level stick welder may start around 35 in average around 45 to 55 an hour. So there's a lot of money in it. And then the programming, and we have a CNC table, so there's another aspect to it, and there's a lot of money in that stuff too.
Do you mind if we talk to some students? Do you have some students that we should talk to? Four people. Are you one of them? Oh my gosh. Okay, tell me your name.
I'm Zeke.
Zeke. Okay, and is this your first welding class?
Yes, this is my first time taking welding, and I love it so far.
Oh, why do you love it so much?
Because Mr. Money has helped me along the way, like, a lot, with all the welding tips and, the contact to wire distance and stuff and whatnot. So, yeah.
Is this something you think you want to do after high school?
Definitely.
Yes.
I consider it 100%.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Zeke. It's great to meet you. All right, who's next? Oh, tell me your name.
Malachi.
Malachi? Okay. And is this your first welding class?
Yeah.
And what do you love about welding?
You get to weld all day.
You get to weld all day. Why is it better than some of your other classes? Like, what do you love about it more than, say, an English class or a math class?
Because I get to work with a machine.
So you're working more with your hands and... Okay. Is this something you think you might want to do after high school?
Probably get a good job and then start saving money to get a house or something, or an apartment.
That sounds awesome. Wonderful. It's nice to meet you, Malachi. Oh, yes. Female welders. I love it. Okay, tell me your name.
So I'm Carly.
And I'm Kat.
Okay, what grades are you guys in?
We're in 10th grade, and this is our second year taking welding.
Okay, you got to tell me all the cool stuff. Why is welding so awesome?
Welding is a really good skill to have. It's really important for a lot of trades or any skill you need. It's something good, and I think a lot of people should get more into it.
It teaches you a lot of stuff that, like, you wouldn't really learn unless you took the class. Because, like, and there's more, it's not just welding. It teaches you life skills, too. And he teaches you, like, how to make money in here and all sorts of things like that.
You learn a lot of basic skills and needs for life. And you build a lot of new friends and relationships.
Very cool. Okay, so are you guys thinking you want to do welding after high school as a type of career?
Yes, I'm thinking of going into a welding.
Keep going.
I want to go to a trade school for it, actually.
Okay, what about you?
I'm actually more into automotive than welding, but it's kind of, I do a mix of both.
And you would use still probably welding skills even in automotive, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what makes this class, like, just so much, I don't want to suggest that it's more exciting than other classes, but what makes you love it so much? How about we put it that way?
Okay. Well, I think the teacher plays a big role in it. He's super fun. He has all these cool projects and all these things that we can build, and he's just super nice, super fun teacher. He's funny, and I think it's just a super fun class to be in. There's more to do, and there's, like, fun field trips you can go on, like the welding expo. You can build things to go there. You can build mini bikes here, cut out signs. Like, there's all sorts of things that you can do here.
I had no idea you could do all those things. And you can hear there's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, tell me about what you think about this class.
I like that it's a very hands-on. You're constantly keeping yourself busy. It's a very self-paced. So it's like once you finish one thing, you can already move on to the next. You don't have to worry about waiting. And not only is that, like she was saying, the teacher, but also you can build really good friendships in this class, I find.
Love it. Oh my gosh, you guys have made my whole day. So thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of What's Up with the Soup. As always, all episodes will be posted on anywhere you get your podcast, as well as on YouTube and the district website. Another reminder that if you have any topics or questions you would like us to discuss on the podcast, please email us at podcast@provo.edu. Even though it will be fall break next week, we will have a brand new and very exciting episode for you. I had the opportunity to sit down with Richard Culotta, the CEO of the International Society for Technology and Education, when he recently visited our district. We had an awesome discussion about ways we as parents and as educators can help students use technology in a more beneficial way and how to help all of us become better digital citizens. You won't want to miss this episode. So until next time, have a great week, everyone.